My guest at this time is Frank Keating, president and CEO of the American Bankers Association. He's also a former two-term governor of the state of Oklahoma. He joins us today to talk about the ABA's efforts to educate potential home buyers about what they need to have in order before going after that mortgage and that major purchase in their lives. But we also want to get his thoughts on some of the major developments in the financial debate here in Washington and beyond. And Governor, it's good to have you with us as always.
No, my pleasure, and thanks for having me on.
Well, let's just get your reaction real quickly to some of the things we've seen in recent days, specifically the testimony of JPMorgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon up on Capitol Hill. That's led to more debate over the government's role in regulating some of these banks over that $2 billion that got lost. Some say there's already been way too much through Dodd-Frank. Others say this is a sign we need more. Where do you come down on this?
Well, obviously, if the taxpayers, as they do, insure your savings account and my savings account at our bank, there will be regulation. The question is always, whether you're a big institution or a small institution, is that regulation smart and sensible, and does it encourage not only safety and soundness, but also lending, so that you and I can go to a bank and, you know, borrow money to fix up our house, borrow money to buy a car, or whatever it is we wish to do. In the case of Dodd-Frank, with 7,500 pages of proposed and final rules applicable to everybody with varying degrees of severity in the banking business, the average community bank has 35 employees. I mean, the latest estimate we have at the American Bankers is that 12 to 15% of all the new hires are compliance people. Well, that means all of the lending that could have been, should have been done, is responding now to compliance requirements. Some may be good, some not so good, but there's a lot of reading in 7,500 pages for a small bank.
Real quickly, before we get on to the mortgage program that you're advocating, do you see Dodd-Frank more as something that has helped to provide security for the industry and for consumers, or is it more frustration?
Well, think about when I borrowed money to buy my first house. When I first put in an application, I was turned down. The owner of the home had to collateralize or basically co-sign 5%, the first 5% of the note. The person sitting behind the desk belonged to the bank, and that person was paid whether he approved me or not. So there was an underwriting decision that he made that I think was probably sensible. I was young and had no assets to speak of, and I was newly employed. During the middle 2000s, you had mortgage brokers who were only paid if they made the loan happen. So guess what? There are a lot of people who should not have bought houses that didn't have jobs, assets, or income. Some of these wretched mortgages that were made created this havoc. So Dodd-Frank now does cover mortgage brokers, and it covers payday lenders, and it covers non-banks. That's good. But by the same token, to create some of the entities, the structures in Dodd-Frank that slow down, if not stall out, lending, just as a result of crowding out lending opportunities because of all the compliance people you have to hire, I'm not sure that's sensible or necessary. And that's a debate, certainly after the election, as we, I know, representing the banking industry, want to see some changes to Dodd-Frank.
We're talking with American Bankers Association President and CEO Frank Keating, former governor of Oklahoma. And, sir, I know the ABA is now trying to educate those who are entering the home buying market, or at least dabbling in it, to definitely have their ducks in a row so they don't find themselves in a position that a lot of folks did in the last decade, as you mentioned, some of which dealt with predatory lenders, and a lot of them also just jumped in without really knowing what they were getting into, and they got foreclosed upon, and our economy is still struggling with the ramifications of that. So where do you start in this education program? What do people need to know and have in place before they start the search?
Well, a good place to start, obviously, is to find out what your credit score is. And if your credit score is, let's say, in the 600 to 750 or 60 range, then certainly you're a responsible person and have a shot at home ownership. If you've got a real low credit score because you have not paid your bills, you have too many obligations, then it's probably better to rent a while longer to get that credit score up, and obviously to put aside money for a down payment. I mean, I rented a long while, actually, and there's nothing embarrassing about being a renter, but home ownership, certainly after the fall of 08, is more difficult. You have to have a job, you have to have assets, you have to have income, you have to have a down payment, and it's important to recognize there's a legal obligation here. If you sign a mortgage note, you owe the money, and you just can't simply give the keys back to the lender. In some cases, you can have that note modified. In some cases, you can have other, like a deed in lieu or a short sale if you really get into trouble. But it's always best to know that this is a legal obligation. It's a long-term commitment. This is not simply something I'll buy and then flip and make a bunch of money. This is not an ATM machine. So I think we have to have a much more mature view of home ownership. It's the ultimate American dream. I know for me, I'm always happy when I'm in my home. And I think all of us feel that way. We just need to recognize it's long-term and it's a legal obligation.
And one of the things you also recommend through the ABA, Governor, is to do some work with your bank, your financial advisor, and perhaps even some mortgage outfits to make sure you know what you can afford and what you can be pre-approved for. And I remember from my own home buying process, figuring out what we could afford and then seeing the pre-approval number was quite a bit higher than that. That's not necessarily the number you want to shoot for, though, correct?
Oh, that's absolutely right. The best thing I think to start with is do some preliminaries. It's like when if you and I are thinking about planning for a vacation, we don't buy our plane tickets first. We get online, look at the places we'd like to go, find out how expensive it is. Can we go? Can we take our children, for example? For us, I would say visit the consumers page on ABA.com, and there's a mortgage calculator on that site. So you can think about, well, I'm looking at this house or this condo, and this is the general price range. How much do I have to put down? As a rule of thumb, at least my experience has been, don't ever sign a note to buy a house that will take more than a third of your net income, what's in your checking account at the end of the month, to pay your mortgage payment. Because, you know, you're going to have to pay for insurance, for taxes. Housing is not cheap. You have to mow the grass. You have to fix the roof if it leaks. The furnace goes out. You've got to replace it. And you've got other obligations, student loans, for example, car payments. You know, you can get sick. You may have other obligations for children or obviously for your spouse. So, you know, you need to make sure that you don't swallow too much of an obligation to buy a house. But it is the ultimate American dream. It's a fun thing to own a home. You just need to know it's an adult decision. It's not something you do willy-nilly.
And, of course, it's looking kind of appealing for a lot of folks right now. Prices in a lot of different areas are much lower than they were a few years ago, which is bad for the homeowners and for the economy. But for folks looking for a house, that's not bad. And interest rates are obviously at a great point right now. Tell our listeners a little bit about how the banks are in a slightly more scrutinizing position. You talked about that a little bit with credit scores and so forth, and how banks certainly don't want to be in the foreclosure position again like they were a few years ago. So what will folks expect once they actually step into this process?
Well, I think the first thing is to understand that banks are in business to lend money. That's how they pay their bills. That's how they hire people. That's how they make money for their shareholders. But they want to be paid back. So if you think that this stretch to buy a house is a bridge too far, then I would pull back, you know, try to put more money aside, try to get my financial house in order. But banks, to your point, which was an excellent point, want to lend money. Home ownership has never been more affordable. Prices are down. You can still get a 30-year mortgage for a very, very low interest rate. This is not forever. So this is a great time to borrow and to buy. You just want to make sure you're ready to do both.
And I'm sure you've got a lot more information on your website for folks to look at. What's that website?
Consumers, that's the page on ABA.com. And we do have, I think, a really good website to get people in that, in those first steps toward home ownership. And then once you've done that, talk to your realtor. And then if you have a banking relationship, go into the bank and talk to a bank officer about this wonderful American dream that you want to make a reality for yourself and your family. It is doable. It is digestible. But you've got to make sure that you approach this very maturely.
Governor, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Former Oklahoma Governor Frank Keating is now the president and CEO of the American Bankers Association. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.